So, should I hold the mic or you can?
Yep.
Yes, please. Like this? Okay. So, I made the red as in the blood of Jesus, and I made it so you could be, like, right in where you want to be, where you're just, like, in the blood of Jesus while everybody else around you is just, like, not. And you can just come up to them and save them up to it. I don't know.
Okay. Good job. Thank you. Well, Josh, you just confirmed something for me, because what the scripture that was going through my mind right before you shared that was, we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, so thank you for confirming that. Well, you know, with that, why don't we just do this? So since we overcome by the word of our and the blood of the Lamb, which is what Jesus has done for us, why don't we take a couple minutes? Maybe some of you have a testimony. See, not only do we overcome by the word of our testimony, you overcome by the word of somebody's testimony. Amen? In other words, if somebody shares a testimony, that helps you overcome, because you get encouraged by their testimony of what Jesus did, the blood of the Lamb did for them. So, come on, Andrew. You got one coming up. I have two or three this morning.
Okay, I don't know how this happened, but you guys ever get that moment where you're just thinking, wow, it'd be really nice if I had this one thing, and then God just swoops in out of nowhere and gives it to you? Like, so I was at skating last Friday, and I had almost enough money to buy what I wanted, just one more quarter, and I'd have it. I was like, oh, man, I wish I had that quarter. So I go back on the rink, and I'm like, maybe I'll get something later. And this man I had never seen before in my life and never spoken to before just swoops in out of nowhere, comes up to me, goes, do you need a quarter? He and in his palms a quarter. I take it. And I'm like, before I can react, he zooms away. And I go up to my friends and I'm like, do you guys ever have that moment where God just gives something to you and they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, y'all can't tell me Jesus isn't real anymore. That's Jesus. So, like, that's just amazing, to be honest. Like, Jesus is moving.
Oh, man. Thank you, brother. Okay. Here he is.
Hey, so I'm happy that Joey's home. That's a testimony. And we pray for my brother here, David. And I remember me and Pam and Matt. Yeah, he's not here. But we was praying for him that God would heal him, and I'm so happy to see him. So, yeah. Amen.
Yes, we are. Thank you, guys. Thank you, brother. Cindy.
Yeah, I just heard from my mom yesterday. She just started stronger chemo, but she had chemo and radiation, and she's been on the prayer list that her CA-125 number, which was in the 800s, actually was at 20, which is the highest of the normal range, but it's the normal range. So that's just powerful, isn't it? I have a whole lot more, so if you need more encouragement, ask me after the service, and I'll tell you those testimonies, too.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, Cindy. Hey, Danielle. Is it Danielle or Danielle Ski?
Danielle Ski. I like that name. So actually, September 1st, I got into my first real accident. I was praising Jesus, and I slid right into the back of a car on the highway. But I had my court date on Friday, and I was just, like, so nervous. My heart was pumping, and my mom came with me, and we're like, Jesus, please, don't let the cop show up. And you know what he didn't do?
He didn't show up.
Exactly. So I'm so thankful.
You escaped. Good deal. Okay. All right, one more. John Sweetland. Come on, John.
I had my baby brother call me 2 weeks ago, and we have an unusual financial blessing coming. They found a insurance policy that my mother took out in 1982. And Monday, I submitted all the paperwork. and I'm expecting our portion of that inheritance to come in either this week or next week. And it's a healthy hunk of change coming in.
Come on.
I just want to remind John about the principle of tithing.
I got to make an exception. One more.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Well, actually, just some ways, I think this ties up some of these testimonies because, you know, Andrew with the, like, all of a sudden, you know, this, and all of a sudden that, you know, well, this was such a cool, a fun demonstration yesterday. I think you probably experienced it when the atmosphere changed. Do you remember? And here, I actually had been with Debbie throughout the day. We had to go down to Annapolis to pick something up. And it was like, wow, this is like November, mid-November. Look at this sun. It's warm. I was actually getting warm. Took my vest off. And then as we were driving home, boy, did the atmosphere shift, like all of a sudden. And it was kind of comical because we saw people like trying to rake their leaves. But they weren't like their intention to do something was shifted because the wind was blowing. So anyway, just reminded me, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And I just got real excited from that like literal demonstration in the physical realm because I thought, Lord, I love that about you. You just like catch us by surprise and then you like change everything up. We have an intention to do one thing, but we really can't do that now because you have another plan and you change the and boy, did the atmosphere change like in what, like 10 minutes? It really changed, didn't it? So anyway, just lay that over into our hopes and agreeing with the plans of the Holy Spirit and the way he has already put in our hearts the hope that the atmosphere is changing. So, amen.
Amen. Good word. Thank you. All right. Okay, let's welcome Dave Fritz.
Okay. A few announcements here. Before that, we're going to receive our offering, and we have a scripture here that we want to read from 1 Chronicles. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Amen? So that's what we're doing. We're giving God glory through our tithing now. And so as we receive that offering, I just want to clarify for you, Kristen. You know, there's a name for what we had, atmosphere change. It's called an invasion of cool Canadian air. That's what we had. And we welcomed it. Cool Canadian air. Okay, so the first announcement here is tomorrow I asked me to make an announcement that there's a sign-up sheet outside on the table for the Christmas program, right? Christmas Hanukkah, right? Christmas Hanukkah program, right? So it's a double. Yeah, got it? Okay, then the next one here is Christmas care packages. All right, there we have, is that... That's David. Yep, there he is. David DeRozier right there. Amen. There's David. Remember our troops this holiday season there. So we're doing the Christmas care packages.
He's in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Oh, is he really? He's serving at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba base. Okay, so that's where Brother Dave is. Okay, so next one, we're having Communion Sunday in November, on November 27th here. We're going to have a Thanksgiving offering on November 27th, special offering for medical needs. I believe that's for Joe Fort, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, and then Lexington Market Outreach, our next one's coming up December 3rd, 11 a.m. to 1. And Women's Christmas Brunch, there you go, December 10th at 10 a.m. Women's Christmas Brunch right here, bring a friend, see Melissa Christensen. Okay, then we have a special guest, George Witten, who will be with us here on Sunday, December 11th. Okay, and then finally, here's our Christmas Hanukkah celebration. Christmas Eve service is on December 24th, 7 p.m., and that's for which we have a sign-up sheet, correct? Did I get that right? That's for this, just for help.
And more,
just to help out with everything. Okay? So I think, is that, do we have another slide coming up here? I think that's it. Okay. So let's welcome Randy. Randy, are we going to?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, we got dismissal. That's right. Sorry. Okay, so we're going to do dismissal now. Let's raise your hands here and let's do a blessing. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. So, Lord, may your peace, may your shalom encircle them as we do the dismissal. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we're going to dismiss. Call Randy here. Yep, there we go, Randy. Let's welcome Randy. Let's show Randy some love here. There you go.
Is Danielle, did Danielle leave already? She's lucky. I tell you, I wish I'd known the Lord when I was her age. My first accident, I ended up in jail. My first time in jail. He does. I was about your age, too. All right. My first time in jail. There are a few other times, but anyway. What's that? No felonies. I'm thankful for that. Yes. Yes. The records have been expunged. Yeah, my first time, actually, it was the night before I went into the Naval Academy. I was out with some friends, and we had way too much to drink, and we were at this place that was, we were underage in this club, and a club was in a bottom of a mall, actually it's like in the bottom level, and we were leaving, and one of my friends thought I was weaving, and he pulled the steering wheel over, and we hit, you know, those ramps that go up to the store and all that, right into the ramp, bam, you know, still got a scar on my head to remind me of it. Of course I wasn't wearing a seatbelt, nobody wore seatbelts in those days. And so we all ended up getting taken away by the police. And literally, I was on a plane the next day to go to the Naval Academy with clamp in my head and stitches and everything else. And that was my first time, so didn't learn my lesson. There were a couple more. But anyway, thank God that we're in prison again. I hope it's for the gospel, right? For the right reasons. Amen. Yeah, prison's not the most fun place to be in, that's for sure. Of course, John Sweetland spent a lot of time in prison. He was guarding those guys in prison. How many years, John? 6 years as a prison guard. Wow. What's that? You got saved in prison. There you go. There's a story, too. Okay. Well, hopefully we're all prisoners of the Lord, right? Amen. Yeah, amen. Well, this morning I want to share with you the second message in a series that I just started last week called Seized by Eternity. And last week the title of the message was Gaining an Eternal Perspective. And this week it's God's Time. God's Time. Charles Simpson once said, understanding eternity is like a goldfish swimming around in his little bowl, trying to understand the vastness of the oceans. Yeah. It's a hard concept to grasp, isn't it? And I don't want to suggest for one moment that I fully grasp it either. So, but I hope to move us along in a better understanding of it again this morning. Last week we looked at the scripture from 2 Corinthians, which says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for today, and thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for each and every aspect of our time together this morning, and thank you, as the young people are meeting, that your presence is with them as well. Lord, thank you that your presence is with those who couldn't be with us today but are part of this community. And Father, as we look again at your word this morning, we just ask you to open our eyes to those eternal truths that you have for us, those eternal truths that we're so grateful that you've revealed them to us as your people here and now today. So, Father, we commit our time to you now, and we pray this all in the name of your most marvelous Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Anybody have any light and momentary troubles? Let me ask a different question. Anybody not have any light and momentary troubles? Okay, yeah. Right. We all do, don't we? And to varying degrees, I realize that. I don't want to make light of the fact of some very difficult times that people are going through, and others perhaps much less difficult in comparison. But we all face challenges, and those are to help us prepare for our eternal existence. The writer Ecclesiastes says that God has made everything beautiful for its own time, for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. Every time I encounter someone, be it here in the States or overseas, Indonesia or some of the other countries I've traveled to, when I meet people that don't yet know Jesus, I believe that God has put eternity in their hearts. So I'm saying, Lord, help me to understand how to bridge that gap between that heart cry for eternity and their lack of understanding of who you are and what you've done for them. I believe it, that God has put eternity in the heart of every man and woman. How many people know the story of the missionary Richardson, Don Richardson, and the Peace Child? How many? Nobody? Wow. Oh, I see a few hands in the back there. Okay. Wow. I show this story, the film, the video of it to my students every year, even though it's not directly related to psychology. It has to do with what I'm teaching them, because we're all influenced by our culture, aren't we? You know, I'm looking at people that are all dressed similarly. A lot of people wearing sweaters today, very similar styles of clothes and dress. And there's a cultural aspect that we all embrace, and it's not necessarily good or bad, or right or wrong. I'm not trying to go there. But in a different culture, they have different aspects, don't they? So the Peace Child is a true story of Don Richardson's work with a group of indigenous people in Papua New Guinea, and how he went there to this tribal group of people and had a thought. He thought he had a breakthrough as he's able to finally share the gospel story with them. And when he finished the story, they all rejoiced, but not because of Jesus. They rejoiced because of Judas, because the highest value in their tribal existence was betrayal. And they were like, wow, this is the ultimate act of betrayal. And so Dr. Richardson is like, he's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? How am I going to help these people? You know, how can I show them, how can I change the course of their thinking? And actually, while he was there, one of their guys was by a neighboring warring tribe, was wooed into their presence, and they began to entertain him, and he was celebrated, and he was like, wow, this is really cool. These people really like me. And then they had this big banquet, and about halfway through the banquet, he realized he was the main course. And, yeah, not very nice. So so these two tribes started fighting each other, and Dr. Richardson just got so mad, and the people he's with, he said, look, if you guys don't stop this, I'm going to leave. And he'd brought them iron, like axes, metal tools that they never had before. Of course, they had medicine to help with sickness and things like that that they didn't have. In a lot of ways, they helped them in very practical ways. He says, I'm leaving. And so they went, oh, no, you can't leave, you know, you can't do that. So they said, okay, we'll make peace. It's kind of funny, you know, but we'll make peace. So they actually took the baby of the chief of one tribe and gave him to the chief of the other tribe. And the idea was, as long as this baby was with the other tribe, they would not fight one another. There would be no war. Hence, the child was called the peace child. And as the child was passed from one tribe to the other, everybody touched it. It's kind of cool the way the movie's an excellent movie. It's one of these movies that it looks like a National Geographic film, but it's not. It's actually a dramatization of the scenes. But anyway, so all of a sudden, he gets this idea. Peace child. Who is the peace child? And he finds that doorway, that bridge, to share with them about Jesus. And within a matter of years, virtually everyone in the tribe came to faith. And, you know, as they say, as Paul Harvey would say, now for the rest of the story. You know, it's amazing. But that was the key he found. So always I'm asking, God, what is the key? What will help this person to see and understand your eternal purposes for his or her life? Because God has put eternity in the heart of every man and every woman. Now, the scripture speaks. That was interesting. Hey, I didn't do that, but that's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay, while we're reloading there, let me just read you, because I've got them right here. These scriptures from the Psalms. But from eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is toward those who fear him, and his righteousness toward the grandchildren of those who keep his covenant. I especially appreciate those words this morning with my two grandchildren here, who remember and observe his instructions. That's in Psalm 103, verse 17. Psalm 136, verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is eternal." His love is eternal. And his love endures forever. Thank you, Nick. That's right. And that's what eternity is, forever. Psalm 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God." So in two of these psalms, it talks about, it uses the phrase, from eternity to eternity. What does that mean? You know, to me, it's like an oxymoron. It's like you know, jumbo shrimp or original copies, or my favorite one, Army Intelligence. I share that with Justin all the time. So, I mean, with Jason, thank you, with Jason. You know, it's like from eternity to eternity. There is eternity, right? Or there is eternity. But can there be from eternity to eternity? So I did some research about this, and if we can get the PowerPoint going here again, I'll be able to share it with you. Sir, how close do we think we are there? Pretty. Keep talking. Okay. So from eternity to eternity, you know, what does that mean? How can there be something from eternity to eternity? It was interesting in the scripture Fred shared with us earlier this morning. When God appeared to Moses as he was reciting that passage from the scriptures, he didn't say, "I'm the God that was," or "I'm the God that will be." He says, "I'm the God that I," what? "I am. I am." He said, "Who are you?" "I am." So he's the God of the present, but he's also the God of everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, from time to eternity. How are we doing there, Conrad? Any closer? No? Yes? Closer. Closer to thee. Well, I was going to show you this great chart that I found. Oh, there we go. All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. All right, there's the scriptures from the Psalms. Oh, sorry about that. Huh. Okay. From eternity to eternity. Sanyo, yes. He was a good disciple. I'm really going to hold you in suspense here this morning. It's not my original plan.
beautiful. Both at the same time, too. That's pretty cool. All right, so here we go. From eternity to eternity, the Lord's faithful love is towards those who fear him, etc. And in the Psalm 90, before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. Is that Larry Townsend? Larry, welcome, brother. Wow. Oh, my gosh, we're so honored. Whew. Wow. Oh. Whoa. We bless you, brother. So good to see you. Honored to have you with us. Wow. Okay, get my composure back here. There you go. That's it. That's going to answer all your questions. So from eternity to eternity, I'll be making that chart available after the service, $10 a chart, and you'll have it all answered. It's all figured out, great detail, every aspect of everything you'd possibly need to know from eternity to eternity. How about that, huh? Actually, the guy that did this is a dispensationalist, and I'm not, so I can't fully agree with everything he says there. But anyway, there you have it. So, didn't catch that. But Jesus, the scripture says, was born in the fullness of time. And as I stated last Sunday, I don't believe he was born 1 minute too early, 1 minute too late. He came exactly when God wanted him to be here, in the apex of all of eternal time. So basically, God left eternity and entered time. God left eternity and entered time. Now, this is going to be a mouthful, and just bear with me here. But I know some of you like to take pictures of the screen. You can look at it later and digest it if you want or need to. But I want you to try to grasp this with me this morning. God's transcendence is not his absolute otherness to time and space, but his self-motivated freedom to be immanent to man in time and space. Eternity is not to be conceived negatively as God's timelessness, but positively as God's time. His authentic temporality. This authentic temporality is distinguished from human time not merely by its duration, but by its pure simultaneity. God is not dominated by the succession and division of the past, present, and future, but possesses time in that pure simultaneity, in which past, present, and future coincide without blurring the distinctions between them. God's constancy does not consist in some abstract immutability, but in his fullness in time as a living God. This authentic time of God is the prototype and source of humanly perceived time, and in Jesus Christ, this true time has occurred amidst fallen time as the fulfillment of time. God's eternity is real time. God's eternity is real time. We can summarize that long passage in this way. Eternity is the accomplishment of God's sovereign and eternal purposes in Christ for the whole universe. Thank you, Nick. Got a triple amen on that one. Okay. So God invaded eternity and came into earth as a man, born in this world, born of a virgin. We'll be celebrating his advent here shortly, in just a few weeks. Born into the earth, he came out of eternity into our existence. And again, we measure time by our own measurements, by the rotation of the earth, by the movement of the earth around the sun, days and years. But yet God is beyond that. He's not, we don't want to even think of him as timeless. We want to think of him as beyond that, that the past, present, and future are all locked up in him at once. Again, if you think of that too hard, your smoke starts coming out of your ears. I understand that, you know. But it's beyond what we can even comprehend in our time world, in which we are so bound by time. I was with some neighbors of ours the other day. They're from Iran, and we've been having some time with them, Linda and I have. And she says, oh, we wanted to get together with you again for dinner, but we've just been so busy. So busy. Falling into the trap of Western lifestyle, where we all are so busy, right? I was with a Nigerian friend, Iyanu, last week, and we were talking about the difference between living in Africa and living in America. We're living in Africa, thing goes, time passes, life passes so much more slowly. You're not so busy. And one missionary who lived there for a number of years came back to the States. He wrote a great book that I'd recommend to all of us called Margins. And he said, what we do in the West is we fill up our time to 100%. So when things happen, and how many know stuff happens, yes? When things happen, we don't have any margin to absorb it. And so what he realized from living in Africa, where the pace of life is so much slower, is that they don't fill up their lives to the margins. So he's tried to make it a practice, and ever since I've read the book, I've tried to make it a practice, not always as successful as I'd like to be, but of planning 80% of your time to allow a 20% margin, see? Because stuff always happens, right? Yeah. And then your life does not seem so hectic and consuming and all-consuming. So eternity is the accomplishment of God's sovereign and eternal purposes in Christ for the whole universe. Time and eternity crossed at the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is where time and eternity met, at the cross. All of life as we know it here on this earth, as we exist in the larger cosmos, the universe, all of life has now been redefined, reset, restructured. Talked about a shift this morning. There was the most cataclysmic shift that's ever occurred in the universe. And that shift, that change, has reset everything for everyone who lives today. The writer of Hebrews says this: in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, notice the mention of time here, past, last days. That's the last days, meaning the time from the advent of Christ through today on into his return. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Everything was recalibrated from that point on. It's never been the same since. Eternity has taken on a different appearance since the life of Jesus. We know that God is eternal. Jesus is eternal. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the Spirit is eternal. God, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, are all wrapped up in eternity, as are God's eternal purposes. The writer of Ephesians talks about the eternal purposes of God. What do you think the eternal purposes of God are? What's that? Sum all things up in his Son. Somebody else? Anybody else? Fred said, sum all things up. Salvation to man. To love, who is that? Allison? Melissa, way in the back. Thank you. To love and be loved by God. Some more thoughts? Eternal bliss. Grace. God be glorified. The Westminster Catechism states that. Anyone else? There's a lot we can say, and everything everyone said is certainly true. I'd like to suggest to you that God, from the very beginning, has wanted to be who he is and who he continues to be, and that's a father. He wants to be a father. He loves being a father. He loves children. We're his children. And he wants to just draw his children unto himself. And he wants to just shower his love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness upon us as his children. And when I say father, I'm not speaking of male versus female. I mean, we all carry within us the attributes of fatherhood. I'm speaking of that role of one who creates, of one who sustains, and one who reaches out to his sons and daughters. He's continually pursuing us, is he not? Does he ever stop pursuing us? Never. Never. Remember the poem, The Hound of Heaven? The English author. By the way, he was the most, I don't know if you know this, Donna, you teach. He's the most celebrated English poet next to William Shakespeare. More poems of his were published than any other English poet other than Shakespeare. And he talks about the hound. I was going to read that this morning, but it's way too long. He talks about the hound of heaven pursuing us. He's relentless. He never gives up, does he? No matter how far away we think we can distance ourselves from him, no matter how much we think we can turn our back on him, he continues to do what? To pursue us. And what does a father do with his natural children? He pursues them. He doesn't give up. He keeps pursuing. That's what God's about. He's a father. He loves us. And it's an eternal love. And so God says, you know something? I not only love you now, here and now, but I want you to be with me forever. Forever. That's something we can't fully comprehend, is it? But Jesus recalibrated the whole system because Jesus came and he said this. He says, I'm going to give you eternal life. John 4:14, whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water that I will give him will become a well of water springing up within him for what? Eternal life. I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. John 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. God's saying, now I want you to be with me forever. I want you to be with me in eternity, that place that we can't fully wrap our brains around. How in the world can that exist? What does that mean? What does that look like? And it all is possible because of the cross. The cross is the great divide. The cross is that great place where eternity and time crossed and where Jesus made a way for you and for me to be with God the Father forever. When he said on that cross, it is finished, it was finished not just for that moment, it was finished for all eternity. Never, ever again will Jesus need to come back to this earth to live a sinless life, to die a death he never deserved on a cross. Never again. Never again. He did it once and for all eternity. We are the recipients of that grace. Amen. Well, as we continue to ponder that thought, I want to share with you a song. I think it's familiar to both of us. It's one of the songs that Bethel's done about the cross. And as you listen to the words will actually be on the screen, but as you hear the words sung and as you think about them and meditate about them, I just invite you to join with me in meditating on what God has done for us, to make a way for us to live with him in all eternity.
The life you gave, your body was broken, your love poured out, you bled and you died for me there on the cross. Oh, you breathed your last as you were crucified, you gave it all for me. Hallelujah, you are a Savior. Hallelujah, you are a friend. Hallelujah, you're King forever. We thank you for the cross. There in the ground, sealed in the darkness, lifeless lay the frame of the Father, Son in agony. He watched his only Son be sacrificed. He gave it all for me. Hallelujah, you are a Savior. Hallelujah, you are a friend. Hallelujah, you're King forever. We thank you for the cross.
sins are scarlet. You have made us white as snow. Though our sins are scarlet, You have made us white as snow.
It is beautiful. Thank you, Lord. You know, eternity doesn't begin when our life ends on this earth. Eternity begins when you put your hand in the hand of Jesus. That's when you begin to walk in eternity, to walk with God forever and ever and ever. Do you remember the day that you were seized for eternity? Do you remember that day when God reached out and apprehended you and opened your eyes to His truth, to His love, to His forgiveness, to His life, to His eternal purposes? You're part of His eternal plan. Isn't that amazing? You're part of His eternal purposes. You're part of eternity. Amazing. Stand with me, please, and I want to close this in prayer, and then I'm going to turn the mic back to Fred to close our time together. Just reach out your hands and just open your heart to Him. Just embrace the cross. Embrace all that Jesus has done for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you that in this incredible vastness of eternity that our finite minds have such a hard time comprehending, that you reached out through eternity. You reached out through time and space to touch us and to open the eyes of our hearts to see you and to know you. God, we are eternally grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, we acknowledge that you are the creators of heaven and earth, and we acknowledge that before the earth ever existed, that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit had this amazing love relationship that continues to this day, and in which you invite us to join you. Thank you. Thank you that we can be part of what you've done and what you're doing. Thank you that you're not some God that's afar off, that you just created everything, set it into motion, and set back and said, okay, that's it. But you're a God that has chosen to involve yourself in the lives of the people of this earth. And thank you that we join with millions of saints who have gone before us and millions of saints who will follow us. Father, we thank you that all around this world, there are men and women of different nations, of different cultures, of different skin color, of different backgrounds, all of whom are naming the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that even as this day continues and before it ends, that many more will be counted among those who named the name of Jesus. You're an amazing God. You're an amazing God. Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you. And God, help us to be those vessels of your eternal purposes for our world around us, who so desperately needs to know you, who so desperately needs to know your love, your compassion, your fatherhood. That God, you want to just wrap your arms around them and just say, I love you. God, help us to be the people that you want us to be. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you for your message and your meditation. It may have eternal impact on our souls. as Randy was speaking, what came to mind was the very end of Peter's letter, 2 Peter. He says this, "But grow in the special favor and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be all glory and honor, both in time and in eternity." Isn't that good? Amen. So may the Lord bless you, keep you, and shine his face upon you, and be gracious to you, and lift up his countenance upon you, and give you his peace, both in time and in eternity. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Have a great Thanksgiving. Be thankful all week for his love for you.